Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. The first order of business for this evening will be the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the revised agenda?
There are none, Mr. Chairman.
Any member?
Motion to approve the agenda as revised.
Okay, you have a second for that motion?
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. McCabe that we approve this evening's revised agenda. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion so carried. Next will be the approval of the minutes of our last regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve the minutes of our last regular meeting. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion is carried. Earl.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time for public hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of hearings this evening, and in order to proceed in an orderly fashion, the hearings will be conducted according to the following rules. All persons in attendance must conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct is not tolerated and may result in expulsion from the room and, in extreme cases, more severe penalties. Each application is separately announced, and the applicant will be asked to come forward and be sworn in. The applicant will present the case, explain the request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or for a special use exception. The board may ask questions of the applicant as well as any of the witnesses. The board will then invite public comments. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents, and if you have questions for others, those questions must first be directed to the board, and the board will then direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case is either voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. If you're here for a case listed under old business or other business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence will be taken. And in addition, those items are considered after the new public hearings, which may be late in the evening. All board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening and view deliberations at the end of the agenda, or you can call the board office in the morning for the results. For the courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or a pager, we would request that you turn that off during the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Burrow. First case, please.
Case number 10,688, Doggies at the Beach, north of Route 24, 939 feet southwest of Route 1, a variance from the setback requirement for a daycare facility.
Thank you. Members of the board, Chase Brockstead on behalf of Doggies Daycare, LLC. I'd like to introduce the owner of Doggies Daycare, Mr. Jim Ryder, who is here. He's going to be speaking this evening. Initially,
Can we get him sworn in advance, please?
Sure.
Is he the only person you're going to call, Mr. Brockstead?
Yes, that's correct.
State your name for the record and address.
James F. Ryder, 112 Selborne Court, Rehoboth Beach.
Right. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Burrow. Appreciate that. Members of the board, initially, just out of a duty of candor, I just wanted to point out to the folks that are up there who may not know, but Mr. Workman is my uncle. So to the extent that that has anything to do with this application or its pendency or the ultimate outcome, I thought it would be relevant to at least point that out. I haven't seen him in a while, so it's good to see him. As I mentioned, my name is Chase Brockstead. I represent Doggies at the Beach, LLC. And this is a request for relief from Section 115-77, Item A. A request for variance was filed with the board on July 30, 2010. Initially, as a matter of housekeeping, we submitted not only the variance request form, but also a application, which I'm hoping you all have, which attached a supporting statement of facts as well as the law. that applies to such a variance, a copy of the lease addendum, a description of the business, two invoices relative to a fence that is at issue, a copy of the survey, photographs, as well as some petitions and letters in support. At the time of the filing of the application, we had approximately 137 petitions in support. We have since supplemented the record with that for a total of 210, and my client gave me tonight an additional 30. So there are 240 petitions in support of this application. Mr. Reiter is going to come up and talk a little bit about Doggies at the Beach, but essentially it is a doggy daycare and grooming operation. It's located at 18806 John J. Williams Highway. It's on Route 24 next to the Dollar General, if that orients anyone. The business has been operating since March 1, 2007. And essentially, this is a daycare facility for dogs. There are three playrooms inside of the facility that have various toys and apparatus equipment for the dogs to play on. There's full-time supervision both inside the facility and at the brief times when the dogs go outside of the facility into this fenced area, which, again, is at issue. Essentially, the fenced area outside is only for the dogs to relieve themselves. They're out for somewhere between 3 minutes to a maximum of 10 minutes at a time, only from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I think it's important to know that one of the services that Doggies at the Beach provides is that their dogs are not housed in a cage or the typical kennel in which a dog would spend the majority or all of its time. It's the same place where they would relieve themselves, the same place where they would eat. This is really a, sort of a daycare in its truest sense of the word, where these dogs are out in the facility itself and are active. Section 115.77, Item A of the code imposes a 200-foot distance for a structure from a residential district and 50 feet from a side property line. The variance that we've submitted seeks relief from both of those requirements. And if you take a look at what's been submitted in the application materials at tab 6, which is a survey of the property, you can see depicted on that this controlled leash outdoor slash fence area dog break area. And this area was originally installed on March 28, 2007. Mr. Reiter spent approximately $2,300 to have that fenced area installed. It was enlarged to what is depicted on this survey on May 20, 2010, and he spent another almost $1,700 to extend that area. On June 17 of this year, he was notified by Sussex County that he was in violation of Section 115-77, Item A, and this variance resulted. In the statement of facts and law that we have submitted, we have cited the landmark case when it comes to an area variance, which is what this is. And as this board well knows, with regard to an area variance, the less burdensome test is applied as opposed to a use variance. And essentially, Doggies at the Beach is required to show an exceptional practical difficulty, and you're going to hear testimony tonight from Mr. Reiter, and also the documents and the evidence that we've submitted support that removing this area and no longer permitting Doggies at the Beach to have this fenced area will present an exceptional practical difficulty. The Quick Check case is important because not only does it set the standard, but it also identifies the fact that an economic concern or an economic hardship is a valid basis for relief from the code or is a valid basis for granting a variance. Other considerations are the nature of the zone in which the property lies, the character of the immediate area, the adverse impact on neighboring properties, and then ultimately the practical difficulties or the hardship on the owner, in this case, Mr. Reiter and his business. I'm going to go through these, unless someone wants to do it another way, sort of one by one. Initially, he's got $4,000 in costs into this fenced area, which having it removed will obviously cause a substantial loss to his business. The fenced area outside provides an area for the dogs to relieve themselves. Again, these dogs aren't in a cage or a kennel, so this is the area where they can go outside, they can relieve themselves, and Mr. Wright is going to talk about how the area is cleaned up after these dogs so there's no nuisance, smell, anything like that. The dogs are only outside for a short period of time, so there's no nuisance of barking or anything like that. This isn't sort of an outside pen area where the dogs remain for, you know, hours at a time. Again, they're quickly sort of shuttled outside and then brought back inside. And essentially, it's an area for them to use the bathroom. This is important, number one, because it does get the dogs outside. But number two, to the extent that dogs that are at the daycare facility are housebroken, they're not sort of retrained to go and relieve themselves in an area where their cage is, where they're going to be eating, where they're going to be sleeping. Also, dogs that are a little bit younger that are in the process of being housebroken, you know, having that type of a situation may undo the training that they're receiving. This type of service that Doggies at the Beach provides sort of it fosters housebreaking, and then obviously doesn't do anything to undo that to dogs that are already housebroken. This is a very controlled environment. As you can see by the pictures, this is a high PVC type fence. I believe it's 8 feet high. The dogs are always supervised when they're outside. They're always supervised when they're inside as well, but certainly when they're outside. And the hours for the outside breaks are limited to 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So that's sort of what it's all about. And the petitions that we've provided, if you take a look at the language of those, it's obviously very important to the 240 or so people that have submitted a petition and signed it. But essentially, and if you take a look at the language, they're all the same. It's at tab 8. It states, as a doggy owner, I know the importance of walking the dogs during the day in a safe and controlled environment. I also want to emphasize the importance of reinforcing my doggy housebreaking so the doggies go outside to use the bathroom. Also, by signing this application, or petition rather, I'm stating that without an outside doggy break area, it will adversely affect my decision to continue bringing my doggies to Doggies at the Beach. So not only in this petition is there evidence, and again, we've got 240 of them, 30 of which I can hand up tonight, not only saying that this is an important part of the business, but also that Mr. Ryder will lose business if this area is taken away from him. Sort of the converse to this, which is how will Mr. Ryder operate his business if he is no longer permitted to have this fenced area? Well, number one, he's going to lose business. We can obviously see that by the 240 folks that have signed these petitions. But in addition to that, to the extent that he's going to have to now walk dogs, he's going to have to increase his staff. The dogs are taken outside now in groups, often in groups of 10. Frankly, one person can't walk 10 dogs. So you're going to have a situation where he's going to have to increase the staff, and there's going to have to be a staff member or two that are constantly sort of walking the dogs on leashes. This causes some other problems. In addition to increased costs with the staff, it increases his liability and exposure. God forbid that if this did happen and one of these dogs were being walked on a leash, and they got off the leash and they, got onto Route 24 and were injured or killed or something like that, you can imagine sort of the outrage. In addition to that, there are residential properties nearby. There are also adjacent businesses. And, having the dogs coming sort of in and out, being walked around the area, even with someone following up, picking up their waste, you can imagine that the nuisance that this is going to cause on both the adjacent property owners as well as the adjacent businesses. It's going to promote a time where literally dogs are outside all day long as opposed to just snippets of time where the dogs are outside just to relieve themselves. So that's sort of it in a nutshell. At this time, I'd like to bring Mr. Ryder up so he could just say a few words. He's got some prepared comments, and then I'll talk to you at the end.
Okay.
Forgive my nervousness in this group, but I wanted to thank you for providing me the opportunity to address the Sussex County Board of Adjustment. And as I'm seeing the variance, I'm seeing that was presented by the attorney, We're talking about the hardship to the business that I would experience if a negative outcome was given this evening. I think that the attorney explained the nature of the type of business. It's basically a doggy daycare and grooming. It's a cage-free facility in which during the course of the day, I think that I know there are expectations of our customers that the doggies will be allowed to go outside to the bathroom. And the outside controlled supervised area allows us an opportunity to continue the hard work that the clients have done in trying to get their dogs housebroken, as well as helps them stay in one particular area. I am very conscientious not only of the hygiene both inside the business as well as outside, but I try to be very respectful of the residential neighborhood that is nearby, other business neighbors, certainly the owner's property, and the environment. In the back area where this outside fenced area is, the border is basically a small plot of grass with evergreen trees. And having a controlled area where they go to the bathroom every 2 to 3 hours protects that border and environment, not only for the owner but of the building, but also for the residents, because these evergreen trees are some sort of soft border, as well as for the business neighbors. As was described, inside the building are three large playrooms. We separate the dogs by size, temperament, and age. So therefore, when every 2 to 3 hours, we'll take one room of approximately 10 doggies outside at the same time, always supervised. I don't have this outside area as a fourth playroom. So it's not like we just dump them outside and go inside and come back in an hour or two and bring them back in. We're always out with them and supervising them. If there are occasionally, as dogs will happen, barking, we have all kinds of noise abatement procedures, both inside the building to respect the business neighbors, as well as outside to protect the neighborhood. So with this outside controlled supervised area, the dogs are walked in groups. We mentioned that, the as you can see in the pictures in your packet, that there is a white, solid, 8-foot-high PVC fence from the ground to the top, and as opposed to a chain-link fence, which other facilities might have. And that chain-link fence, or why I chose a PVC solid fence, is, again, distractions. Distractions of other humans walking by, distractions of garbage trucks, delivery trucks, dogs, cats, squirrels, you name it, that would cause a dog to bark if seen with this white PVC. Again, it reduces noise issues and distractions that the dogs normally would. In terms of when we take the dogs out, we have we certainly pick up if there's any piles, feces. We use like the plastic shopping bags and pick up one pile, tie it in a knot, and just dispose of it in a trash can right away. Urine, et cetera, we have a hose, and we certainly would hose down the area. Twice a day, we use a non-toxic product like a Simple Green to clean the area, again, to keep the not only viruses, but also hygiene and refuge maintained. So the outside, in case we didn't say it, is an asphalt area on the bottom, so it's easily able to be cleaned up, and we do maintain a very important hygiene with it. So with as is, the outside controlled supervised area provides an area the doggies to go to outside to the bathroom during their stay at doggy daycare or grooming. I'm conscientious of the owner's property, the grass, the trees that we mentioned, and the environment, but also the residential and business neighborhood I think I spoke with. This restricted area out back provides constant supervision for noise abatement, and the dogs are never alone, left alone outside. They are supervised in groups of five, of 10 or so, and for 5 to 10 minutes, usually if anybody is a dog owner, there's a chain reaction. One starts to go to the bathroom, and they all seem to follow suit. So it does happen in a 5 to 10 minute situation, and we do take them out every 2 to 3 hours by room. So removing the outside supervised fenced area would create that element of increased noise, both for residents and for business, due to the barking distractions that I mentioned earlier. It also would have adverse effect on the current plots of grass as well as the evergreen trees to the boundary of the both residential and business neighborhood where the dogs would go to the bathroom. As mentioned, I would have to increase payroll because right now one person can take a whole room out. But if we start to individually walk dogs, it would be a constant all-day affair where I would have to pay additional payroll as well as to walk them individually or in groups of two or so. And so additional handlers would have to walk the dogs. But I am very much concerned about liability. With the business that is currently in the area, there is high traffic in parking lots, and then you have Route 24, which is certainly gotten very busy and congested more and more down to Long Neck. But the liability and safety of the doggies, if they were walked on leashes individually, certainly the collars could come off. You know, I think of, fondly the no-neck pugs. You know, walking a dog, that collar would just come right off because there's nothing to stop the collar often, as well as stronger dogs, labs or golden retrievers. So not only would I have to increase handlers, but I would have to then start discriminating as to what type of employees would I be hiring, because if a strong lab is being walked by a petite employee and sees a squirrel, a cat, another dog, and takes off, you know, that's where an accident could happen and the dog could get away and certainly, heaven forbid, liability and get hit by a car. I mentioned Route 24 is a high traffic zone as well as the parking lots. Doggies getting loose would create undue hardship for a catastrophe, which I never want to be able to talk about as dogs might get loose and in the traffic and get hit by cars. As part of the filing for the request for a hearing today, part of the packet was to provide the residents on the boundary line, which we did. And as soon as the letter did go out to all the residents, naturally, it was a little bit generic for the neighborhood in terms, because it wasn't real specific as to what we wanted. So naturally, there was chatter. And numerous of those neighbors, as well as neighbors across the street or further in development, were all chattering. And numerous residents came in to say what's going on. And by spending time and explaining the importance of a controlled fenced area for walking as opposed to in the neighborhood, certainly many of them ended up signing the petitions that you have in front of you. My small business employees, 14 part-time employees currently, and who are dedicated not only to excellent customer service for our clients, but also a caring opportunity for dogs and safety of the dogs as well as hygiene is real important to a doggy daycare and grooming center. I ask politely that you allow this variance to keep the outside supervised fenced area to maintain safety and service to the public, both for residential and business, as well as for the doggy clients. And thank you for your time.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. I don't want to belabor the point, but I think that under the quick check case, not only have we shown what would be an economic hardship if this isn't granted, but we meet the other factors as well. And at this time, unless there's any questions, I'd like to just reserve some time at the end to the extent that we can address any public opposition.
Okay, that'd be fine, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. McCabe?
No, sir.
Mr. Portman?
No.
Mr. Hudson?
Not at this time.
Okay. Mr. Mills?
Yes, I have questions for Mr. Ryder.
Okay, sir, please come back.
With all the concerns of safety for the animals and for people and
right.
hygiene, all those things, why would you locate a business in such a congested area to begin with?
At the time that I opened the business, residential Leasing was very tight and controlled, and this was the best of what was out there at the time.
Okay. You didn't feel that something more rural or what have you would be a better location for this type of business?
I guess I certainly entertained that thought, but thinking of Rehoboth Beach, Lewis, Dewey, Long Neck, that the opportunity to be near Route 1 was an important factor to pull in not only vacationers, but the local business as well.
Did you obtain a permit when you put had the fence erected?
No, I apologize. I did not. I thought I dotted all my I's and crossed my T's by checking with the fire marshal to make sure that it wasn't a fire lane and check with the owner. And I guess I was ignorant of the law and just presume if I checked with the owner and the fire marshal and they said it was okay that I would be okay. So for 3.5 years, I had the smaller version of the fence, and I did not receive the complaints. And then when I decided to expand, I guess because of the asphalt and drilling through the asphalt into the post certainly brought some notice to me, mm-hmm. and which I think resulted in the complaint.
So you didn't get a permit for the first fence either?
No, I did not.
Okay, and who installed that for you?
A Guardian Property Management.
And they didn't mention anything about a permit?
No, they did not. You'll find on the invoice it does say that all permits were, I forget what the wording is, received, but I didn't pay attention to that. That's their catch-all, but I informed them that the owner approved, the fire marshal approved. They didn't suggest to me, well, do you need to get a building permit? And I didn't think of it or didn't know any better, and they put it up.
Let me suggest to you in the future, anytime you erect anything, it requires a permit. And one of the reasons for that is, to perhaps forewarn of any requirements or setbacks or those sorts of things. And I would further suggest that had you have applied for a permit, it might have brought some attention to the office that maybe you needed a variance at that time. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had one other one.
Oh, sure.
On this bill, you said the
yes.
Guardian installed the fence for you?
Yes.
And it says right here on the bottom of that, the invoice they gave you, the customer will provide all permits. So they left it up to you to get the permits for the fence in, not that they would get them. Nothing they do. They'd only take care of any unforeseen or undiscovered repairs, but they did say that on the bottom. So,
looking back now, I certainly see that and say, well, you know why, but they didn't, I'm not going to blame them. They certainly didn't say, well, you need to have a building permit. Like when I opened the business, I certainly had one at the front window. They didn't push it, and I thought I had crossed my I's and T's with the owner and the fire marshal, and it just didn't dawn on me. I apologize. I didn't know the rules.
Thank you, Terry.
Sir, I got one question.
Sure, sir.
Do you have any complaints in the 3 years you've been there?
I don't have none. No,
no complaints at all?
No.
Okay.
No. You know, like I mentioned before, the, can I tell you that we never have a dog that barks out back? I can't say that, but we always have it supervised to control it, and we have noise abatement procedures to, reduce that immediately if opportunity happened.
And the houses beside the kennel had no complaints with it at all?
I don't have any. In fact, I mentioned the few people that come, the gentleman right directly behind me came in questioning what this letter was about, and after explaining everything, he said, I know this is hearsay, but he said, I really never hear your dogs bark, and he's right smack behind us.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay, hearing no other questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Okay, 1, 2. Do you wish to come up? And all those that are in favor that would wish to speak at this time, please come forward and be sworn in. Again.
Renee Butler Wright, 22 Sheffield Road, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Don't go away. I'm going to do you all at the same time.
I'd like to do all of you, please.
Name and address.
Bill Lux, 33 Bridal Ridge, Lewis, Delaware.
Sir.
Robert Wittick, 305 Clayton Manor Drive, Middletown, Delaware.
Okay. You can all come up and be sworn. You all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you. One at a time, whoever wants to go first.
I'll take the young lady first. Good evening.
Good evening. I have two dogs that go to Doggies at the Beach. They've both been going since they were 8 weeks old. It's been about 2.5 years, give or take a couple months. The whole reason that I chose Doggies at the Beach is because they have the enclosed fenced area. The way the inside is set up, there is no physical way for the dog to get loose, to get out, unless it's my fault bringing the dogs from the car to the business. That and with the enclosed area, they are able to keep dogs on a schedule. Both of my dogs house trained beautifully because they stuck with the schedule and the routine that I had set for them at home. Without the fenced area, it makes me nervous for the safety of the dogs, but also the safety of the employees. I know my female is easily controlled, my 65-pound male is not. And when he sees something he wants and he's on a leash, if you're on the other end of it, you're going with him, which obviously could injure the employees as well as put the dog in a bad situation. And he's not the biggest dog or the strongest dog there. There's dogs there that make him look like a teacup poodle. Aside from that, Savannah Animal Hospital has a daycare program with an enclosed area just up the road, and I feel like if he loses his fence in the enclosed area, it puts him at a disadvantage to the competition. I would continue to take my dogs there because my dogs love them. They've been great to me. They've been great to my dogs. But I'm sure there are people that will go to another business, and I would hate to see him suffer because of that. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have a question for you, ma'am.
Sure.
If the business had been located somewhere else, somewhere close proximity, within a mile, with the same fence-in area and same owners, would you have taken them to a different location?
I heard good things about them, and I looked at the facility, and it was a convenient location for me, and that's why I took them there.
Had been somewhere within, say, a mile, 2 mile proximity, you probably still would have gone?
More than likely. Okay. More than likely.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Bill Lux, and I am the managing broker and senior advisor at Sperry Van Ness Miller Commercial in Lewis, Delaware. I'm here tonight because I know Jim and I know the business, and I'm here on my own to help support his request. I have some 30 years of real estate experience and wanted to appear before you tonight on my own. I have no interest in the business, either from a personal point of view or any real estate transaction. The market of late has given us all some real challenges to face and deal with, and it is refreshing for me to stand before you talk about the need for this variance in order for this business to flourish. I spend a great deal of my time these days dealing with problems in the commercial real estate arena, either a business that cannot live up to its lease obligations or one that has major problems with cash flow, and for the most part they close, leaving unpaid bills and creating more unemployment in this area. This business, however, has grown slowly and carefully to become a well-recognized business offering a service to the area. And as a result, the business is financially successful, creates a payroll for a segment of the local population that might have difficulty in finding a job, and is well respected by the clientele, as you can see from the petitions I heard them talk about. I would encourage you to approve this request. From my commercial real estate experience, I see no reason not to. It harms no one and yet allows the business to remain in a good location and serve the public. Thank you. Questions?
Any questions? Thank you, sir.
How are you, ladies and gentlemen? I am the landlord of the facility, Route 24. I'm going to really echo a lot of the comments that Mr. Lux just presented. It's a very difficult time in the commercial real estate industry. Now, that's not necessarily your old problem, but I will tell you, to speak to the integrity of this gentleman as a tenant, he's been excellent. Obviously, he might have missed some things along the way, but I think this is Jim's first endeavor. And coming out of the chute brand new, he's done very well over time. You raise a question, Mr. Mills, why here? I would have to imagine that this use is a lot like daycare for children. And our daycare facilities that we have probably four or five of as tenants, national tenants, they like to be on the side of the road headed to and from work. It's got to be convenient just like anything else. And if Mr. Ryder felt that that was a convenient location for his clientele throughout the this area, it would make sense to locate there. I asked the same question, but obviously he knew where he needed to be, and he served the public well. I'm sorry that he had difficulty with the fence. It was his responsibility to get permits and approvals. Again, he was new. He's a neophyte. I think he's managed it as best he can, and I would hope that you all would see that he didn't do this with malice aforethought, probably just a bit more naivety. And, he's been a good tenant, a clean tenant. This day and age, it's very difficult to find that, and I hope you can see favorably upon his request.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition?
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
There was 137 petitions submitted to the office in support of.
137?
That's what we received.
Okay.
I also have a letter from the Maplewood Homeowners Association signed by Dan Celia. Would you like for me to read that?
You can just summarize it if you could, please.
Basically, he spoke with several employees there who showed me a small fenced in area that they want to enlarge. At the time, there were 5 dogs in the enclosed area. 2 employees told me that the dogs are put out for exercise. It was later determined that the entire existing fenced in area was illegal from the start, thus the need for a variance. The one major problem that many Maplewood residents have with this existing structure is that the dogs are put out before 7 a.m. and bark continuously. This is unfair to the neighborhood. If the owner of the facility can guarantee that the dogs will not be put out before 8 a.m. and that no dogs will be left out there to create a nuisance by barking, then we will not object. Of course, the enforcement of the requirement may be difficult. So they wouldn't object to the before it. 8 a.m. or after.
Okay. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. And again, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Have one? All those that are in opposition, please come forward at this time to be sworn in. Again, all those in opposition, please come forward. We have two.
Name and address.
My name is Mike Serafin. I live at 2 Radcliffe Drive, Rehoboth Beach.
I'm at 4 Radcliffe Drive.
You both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ma'am, you can come up first.
He's going to go first. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Michael Serafin. I live at 2 Radcliffe Drive, Rehoboth Beach. And my property line is approximately 75 feet plus or minus from the property line to where Doggies at the Beach is. First off, I'd like to mention the business opened in March of 07. And sometime within the next few months after that, I heard the construction going on, and I went over because I was inquiring about what they were building outside the confined area. And the owner of the building assured me that it wasn't going to be for dogs. He told me that it was going to be a picnic area for his employees. Well, since then, his employees do a lot of barking, and they do a lot of messing out there. And I, too, have pictures, because I know he took some pictures, but I'll bet you they're not as good as mine. Do you want to see these?
You can't have those back for a while, just so you know. Okay. Okay.
The fenced-in area has about 2 inches on the bottom where they hose out the waste. Now, there's a puddle in the middle of that area that never dries up. Now, we've had a dry season. I took these at September 1st, and it's there. It's green, it's vile, and sometimes the smell of that is pretty nasty. On a 90-degree day when the wind's blowing out of the east, it's not very nice living where I live. And he also said that his dog's not out there from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Well, last weekend at 5:45, the dogs were barking. A couple of 3 or 4 barks, then another one comes out, a different tone, another bark, and another bark, and another bark. And it's been going on for quite a while. When I seen that he was enlarging, I said, you know, this is enough is enough. We have an investment as well. We live there. We have to stay there 24/7. And these people that signed this petition, if you go through there, there's probably not a whole heck of a lot of them that live 75 foot from that property that signed that. I can guarantee you the people that live right behind it didn't sign that petition. It is a high traffic area, and when they put those dogs out there and they hear the cars, they're barking. Because they can't see them, that doesn't mean they ain't barking. I feel that it is, business is just in the wrong place. If you kept them inside with the doors shut, we have no problem. But the way that building is designed, when them dogs are in that thing, when they bark, it's just an echo chamber coming down through. And it just magnifies the bark. That's pretty well much what I have to say about it.
The business has been operating there apparently for
several years. The business has been operating from what he said was March of 07.
But you didn't object to it?
Well, I heard them, you know, who do you call? I went over and I talked to him and I asked him what it was about, and he told me flat out, oh, it's a picnic area for my employees.
My question was, before the outside area was constructed, you didn't have any problem with the business?
No, I didn't have any problem before it was constructed. You can see there's no picnic table in there.
So you're suggesting that when they wash down this area,
He may pick up some.
It goes under the fence and into
the puddle area. He may pick up some, but he's not picking up all. And it's washing down in there, and it's staying there. And it's there day after day.
So is it washing to a ditch?
It's right in the middle of the drive area.
And don't go off the side of the driveway or nothing, in the grass or anything?
No, it sits right out there. In the parking lot, the blacktop is broken up, and it's deteriorating. That's all I have on it.
You live right behind it?
Yes, I do. 75 plus or minus feet from that property.
And when did you first talk to your neighbor about this problem, about as far as him washing out the pin and the water and stuff in the drive? Have you spoken to him before tonight about this?
No.
You haven't said a word to him until tonight?
No.
Okay. So it didn't bother you until tonight?
Oh, no, it bothered me. It bothered me, the barking and everything.
No, I was talking about the water when he's washing out and cleaning up.
You say, when I went over there to look at it, I discovered that there was a lot of other stuff going on that I wasn't aware of. You know, in the wintertime, you don't smell in the wintertime, but on the 90-degree days, we've had quite a few this summertime.
Okay.
When the wind's blowing just right, it's a little vile. And I have quite a big investment in my home.
I appreciate that, sir. I understand that, but my question just was, again, you haven't said anything to him until tonight. You haven't complained about the water, the smell until tonight.
Well, he wasn't really credible to me when I went over to him the first time and asked him what kind of a place he was putting out there.
Okay.
So that weighs a lot to his credibility.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Mr. Serafin, before this variance request came up, did you know that the fence or whatever was in violation?
No, I did not.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? No, thank you, sir. Ma'am?
Okay, I live directly behind Doggy Daycare, and I don't doubt that he has a very nice establishment and is good to the animals and everything, but there are times when the barking is excessive. Mm-hmm. And I mean, sometimes I know there's one particular dog that actually doesn't bark but yelps constantly. Mm-hmm. The smell in the summer, if the wind's blowing the right way, can be a little disgusting. I think his business, because he probably is a very good business owner, probably has grown to the point where the location of the business just, I think, is too small for what he has. I'm opposed to this additional outside area because it will be even closer to my backyard. And we're now bringing 10 dogs out at a time. And if it grows any more, I think dogs are going to be left out for longer periods of time. And I just think the problem is going to escalate.
Okay.
So I just think that, you know, I think it's great what he's doing for the animals. I'm an animal lover, and I just think he needs somewhere where they have room to run
and it's very small between my house, well, the back of my house and the back of their building.
Okay. Are there any questions from members of the board?
I have some questions for him.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. You can come back up then for a rebuttal.
Mr. Chairman, the office did receive two letters in opposition.
Okay, two letters in opposition. All right, thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to point out a couple of things. Again, up until tonight, there have been no prior complaints. Also, too, I just want to make sure that the folks that are here that came to speak in opposition to this are aware that this isn't a request to enlarge the area that is out there already. This is just a request for relief from the setbacks because what's there violates it. So just for the last person that spoke, I just wanted to let that person know that there's not going to be an enlargement of what is already there. This is just, I mean, I know you folks understand that, but I thought it would be important for the public to understand that.
Appreciate that.
We heard comments from number two, I believe it's Radcliffe, and number four, Radcliffe. I'd like to just draw your attention to tab 9 of the materials that we submitted, and this is a letter from Patricia O'Reilly at 6 Radcliffe. And she states, I live directly behind Doggies at the Beach in Maplewood. They have an excellent reputation, and she supports an extension of the outside doggy break area as well as their continued ability to walk them in a safe and combined area. Again, we're not asking for it to be extended, but this is obviously somebody that lives directly behind who has no problem with what's there now and would, you know, even support an enlargement, which is not something that the applicant is requesting. And I sense that there may be some questions for the applicant, so I'm going to bring Mr. Ryder back up at this point.
Hey, is there any questions, any further questions for Mr. Ryder? Mr. McCabe, do you have any further questions? Mr. Warby?
Yeah, how many dogs do you have in that complex?
Again, it can go up to 30, depending on size. Certainly, if we have small dogs, we'll take more, but in the rooms, basically, are 10 rooms, 10 dogs per three rooms.
We have 30 dogs per day in there?
Yes, that's our average, yes.
5 days a week?
Seven.
7 days a week?
7 days a week.
And your time, start what time?
7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'm surprised about the 5:45, and I'm going to address that.
So what time do your dogs get there?
Some dogs are there at 5:45, but we were supposed to have the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. moratorium or whatever the phrase is. Yeah, we shouldn't be putting them outside, and I'm surprised at that because I've been, especially since this hearing. I mean, the violation was given. I'm not saying they're lying, so please don't get me wrong, but for them to suggest that it's still happening, I've addressed that vehemently with my staff, that they don't go back out before 7 a.m.
Okay. Second, next question, mm-hmm. Your waste. Do you scrub that and clean that?
Yes, we do. I am surprised that the we don't spray waste under the fence. If we do, that's a delinquent worker, and I'm going to address it. There is an asphalt hole that's creating, and I've been speaking with the owner about it, like a French drain to alleviate that because there is no major main drain near that water could go to. But I have been speaking with the owner that spoke today about getting a type of French drain that is going to help the runoff. But that there should be no waste being sprayed under because our policy is to pick it up. And if it has, this first I've heard of it. I park out there purposely every day and come and go as an owner frequently. And I'm always monitoring cleanliness out there. And it's a surprise to me.
And you said you use Simple Green?
Yes, Simple Green.
That's where it has some pictures. That's where the green.
I was going to point that out. That although I'm sure there is urine in the water that we're spraying off the asphalt, but we do use Simple Green, which is colored, mm-hmm. and that would appear rotten,
yes.
in a hole.
Okay.
So you do wash the urine out under the fence?
Absolutely. Yes.
And the only way that that just evaporates or it washes down wherever the water drains. I have one question here. These, I know maybe I misunderstood something, mm-hmm. but the two invoices, mm-hmm. one is an estimate and one is an actual bill?
Again, that may be my fault in providing documentation, because one is the first fence and the second is the addition.
Okay, I'm a little confused then about the addition.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures that were shown, the vinyl fence is the new one?
It's all the same thing. I had one smaller fence, and I'd have to refer for the footage, and then I enlarged it. Right, that is the current size of the fence. I think I enlarged it two panels each direction.
Right. So it's in the same location.
Correct.
It's just enlarged two
Correct.
Panels.
Two panels.
All right.
Enlarged.
I guess I was a little confused about the. You have the quote date is after the actual invoice, but that the quote in 2010 was for the addition.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Right.
Yes. One should be 2007 date on it, and the other would be the addition 2010.
So, and all this is asphalt. There's nothing to absorb any urine or any fecal material.
Right. Well, yes, but we pick up the fecal, to my knowledge.
There's nothing to absorb it.
Correct.
The asphalt is impervious.
Correct.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And what's the greatest number of dogs you've had in the facility at any one time?
I think, again, due to size, you know, smaller ones, 40. Okay. Again, we would take more in terms, you know, we don't do anything by square footage, but you can fit more numerous. We have three large playrooms, and you can fit numerous smaller dogs, the Shih Tzus, the pugs, in one room more than the larger labs and golden retrievers, et cetera.
And looking at the...
And I should suggest that the average in the summer is 30. On our peak times, like 4th of July, we may have built, but it's not a constant daily or weekly thing. That's a high.
Okay, the average summer is 30?
I would say 30, and then, you know, I'm going to say 30 plus,
right.
but the 40 was our exceptional type of day.
And... looking at the survey, I want to make sure I understand this.
Right.
The doggy daycare facility is 39.2 by
right.
61
that,
feet.
Right. That's my error. I was
I'm
shooting.
Asking.
Yes, correct. The survey said that.
Oh, well, it says in the front, it's got a section there. It says new kitchens.
That's the adjoining business.
It's not your property.
It's the landlord's property, but not mine.
Right. But so your facility exists as 39.2 by 61 feet.
But from the property line, not from New Kitchens, the next door business.
Well, how large is your operating facility is what I'm asking then.
Square footage, 2,000 square foot inside.
Okay, how much of that is used for office space or administration?
We have a front desk if that's administration, but I don't have any office space at all.
Well, I guess what I'm asking are the animals allowed to roam in that,
no.
that space?
No, okay. I have three designated playrooms.
So I'd like to know how much square footage those three designated areas are. Then,
again, I'm going to guess, and I apologize, I don't have this exact figure. I'm going to say the front desk is
a
10-foot by 3-foot, and my grooming room is probably 6-foot by 6-foot, and the rest is hallway. Mazed hallway so the dogs don't get out.
Everything but 66 square feet is
I'm going to say roughly, yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
So is your fence, you had about 20 more feet to your fence?
Yes, because it wasn't full two sections of fence, because we, what do you call that, the toilet release tube that comes out of the ground, I don't know the technical term, the clean out, thank you.
Okay.
We didn't want to go on the other side of that, or have to drill around the possibility of the old propane tank under the asphalt. So I it's not technically, you're right on 20 feet. It's not two full 12-foot panels, but it was cut down to 20 to accommodate those things.
So you add only 20 feet more to that.
Right,
fence.
Correct. Two panels, but 20 feet.
Okay.
And so we cut one of the panels to accommodate the plumbing and the propane tank so we wouldn't drill down into it, the old propane tank.
Yeah, and that that fence, you just added that 20 foot to it. When?
May.
In May?
May, yes.
So the other fence been there that whole time before
Correct.
That?
Correct. March of 07.
And nobody ever come complain to you at all for that, but that, until you put this
Correct.
Two sections up?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And the complaint came to you first, and then I got the violation.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you. Okay. No.
Do you need anything more from
me? I don't think so, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the attorney? If not, okay. Chair will entertain him. Okay, I'll take one question, sir.
Okay.
Come on up to the mic, sir, please.
He stated that the person that lives at 6 Radcliffe didn't complain. And that's because she's a dog owner. She has two dogs, and she keeps them at his facilities.
Okay.
But that's probably the reason why she doesn't want to step forward and complain about it. They also advertise. He said it's 7 to 7 business, but they advertise in the paper that's 24 hours.
Okay.
So they're there for 24 hours. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we table case number 10,688 to our next regular meeting.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Wharton that we table case number 10,688 until our next regular meeting, which will be October the 4th. Okay, all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. The case is tabled until our next regular meeting.